It's Essential Pittsburgh. I'm Paul Guggenheimer, and this is a big year for Peanuts, the comic strip. Charles M. Schulz's classic strip debuted in newspapers 65 years ago. Charlie Brown and company are in their first theatrical movie in 35 years, and the annual Christmas special turns 50 this year. Joining us for a look at the Peanuts gang is cartoonist and pop culture contributor Joe Woese, who was the first resident cartoonist for the Charles M. Schulz Museum. Joe Woese, welcome back to Essential Pittsburgh.
Thanks for having me.
You have been the resident cartoonist at the Schulz Museum in Santa Rosa, California, since its opening 13 years ago. You return every year to perform and lead workshops. How did that come about?
The way it came about is actually interesting. I was performing in Columbus, Ohio at COSI, which is their science center, and I had this young kid, I don't know, maybe he was in his late 20s, come up to me and say, are you a fan of Snoopy? I go, of course Snoopy was, you know, major influence on me. He goes, I'm applying for a job. They're opening this new museum, and when I get the job, you're going to be the very first person I hire. And I said, great, kid, thanks a lot. And sure enough, he got the job. And I get this phone call saying, you know, Jeannie Schulz would like to see, you know, your video or some of the work you do, and sent it out to them. And then, you know, they said, we want you out here for our opening week. And so I've been going back every year. I spend every Thanksgiving there. And I also spend 1 week over the summer.
So you'll be going back out there soon.
I'll be going out back out there next week.
Working for Peanuts.
Working for Peanuts, quite literally.
Now, the Peanuts characters have become international superstars, and I never realized just how influential they are till I heard a piece that we actually ran. It was an NPR story on All Things Considered about how in England they were growing pumpkins for Halloween, and they don't have the shelf life they have here because there isn't Thanksgiving afterwards and you can make pumpkin pie and all of that. Halloween was basically something they never really celebrated in England until, largely because of the Charlie Brown Halloween special, they saw this and thought, we ought to try and celebrate it here. And so now you can actually sell some pumpkins and make some money. They're worthless on November 1st, but up until October 30 and through October 31st, they're, you know, you can make some money at this. And so this is the influence. This is an example of the influence of Peanuts around the globe. And I'm wondering if when Schulz first began Peanuts and then the animated specials, did he know that he had a hit on his hands?
I don't think he knew he had a hit. He got rejected an awful lot of times with the strip. So it was a lot of work.
Rejected by newspapers?
Rejected by the syndicates, by newspapers. He did run in the Saturday Evening Post, Little Folks, which was sort of the early incarnation of Peanuts. When he finally did get syndicated, they were a little worried about the name being too close to Little Abner. So the editor said, yeah, how about Peanuts? That's a common nickname for children, which, of course, it isn't. And and Sparky, Schulz absolutely hated the name, and but they used it anyhow. So I don't think he knew he was going to have this sort of amazing phenomenon that is worldwide. They're going to be opening a Snoopy Museum in Japan next year. So it sort of remains just so influential all these decades later. It's as popular as it ever was.
And so we're talking, what, 1949? Is my math correct there?
He would have started sending stuff out in the 1949. He, of course, would have had the strip in the Post. And he was doing freelance work. He was doing sports cartoons. He was teaching. He was doing a lot of different things to do what all cartoonists do, make ends meet. And then this hit, and it really became a phenomenon.
And so it took a while, though. I think it wasn't until the early to mid-60s that the TV shows came about. So how did that happen? Why did it take so long after the start of the comic strip?
Well, they had done Peanuts was very popular, so they had done sort of a documentary, A Boy Named Charlie Brown, that sort of followed Sparky's life and the comic strip characters. And they did short little animated segments as part of that. And it became very popular, and they decided to pitch this idea to the networks. And they said, sure, we'll give it a shot. Sparky's the nickname of Charles M. Schulz. Sparky really fought hard to keep sort of the religious undertones into that. And so after it ran, they weren't even sure they were going to pick up a second one. They weren't sure. They didn't even realize the hit they had on their hands, and it would become a tradition.
So the Christmas one was the first one.
The Christmas one was, they had the Christmas one came first, but before that, they had done a special.
Right, the documentary.
Yeah, the documentary.
But the first animated special. I'm talking about the stuff that we remember, that we grew up with.
We love our childhood.
Even we into our, you know, advanced adolescence here are still like, you know, when that comes around. I had to miss the Halloween one this year, and I was just so depressed about it. And I'm thinking, come on, grow up. But you hearken back to those memories, and you feel so good about, you know, those shows. You know, they were... they might have been thought of as being one-offs, but they became this annual thing. 50 years this year for the Christmas one, and the Halloween one is right behind it. What is it about those? They're simple stories, but what is it about them that resonates with people, that makes people want to flock to their TV sets year after year to watch the same show over again?
I always say that Charlie Brown is who we all are, and Snoopy is who we want to be. there's sort of this identification we have with the characters that's pretty strong.
To be Schroeder, play the piano.
I want to be Schroeder. You know, my daughter identifies with Lucy. There's such a wide cast of characters that there's someone that speaks to each of us. You know, mm-hmm. Linus speaks to our insecurities. Charlie Brown speaks to sort of our fear of failure. Lucy speaks of that sort of dominant, you know, voice that we all have within us, but also tends to be a little crabby. So,
what about Pigpen?
Pigpen, well, we're all a little filthy. But, you know, and it's interesting. Pigpen was sort of the character he had the most trouble with because he created him, and really, he's a one gag character.
Right.
He doesn't have the personality depth that the other characters do. So very often he was sort of relegated to just a, you know, background character or, you know, throwaway or a one gag. So he wasn't used much. But I think those characters really do speak to us, and the stories do too. The stories really we identify with because they're part of our childhood.
Well, the Christmas story certainly, I mean, there's messages for adults in there about the commercialization of Christmas. And as you mentioned, Charles Schulz, there's a religious message at the end, which evidently, unbeknownst to me until this very conversation, Charles Schulz had to fight to keep in.
Oh, yes. I mean, it was, you know, even back then, putting, you know, heavy-handed sort of religious message as sort of the key component of your show, you know, that was pretty controversial. But, you know, he really stuck to it. And, you know, he maintained control of all his projects. He really, really did, because those were his characters, and he knew the gift he had given the world at that point, and he wanted to protect integrity, and he never talked down to children. You know, he never insulted their intelligence for these shows. He did. He kept it very highbrow.
412-246-2002, if you want to join the conversation with Joe Woese about your favorite Peanuts episode memories. It may have come from one of the movies or a strip, or if you're like me, the television shows. What resonates with you to this day about those Charlie Brown shows? Do you share them with your children? Has it become something that you've passed down from one generation to another in your family? 412-246-2002, the number to call. You can reach us on Twitter at ESSPGH and via email at EssentialPittsburgh at ESSPGH at WESA.FM. So there have been Peanuts movies. There is now a Charlie Brown movie back on the silver screen. The last one was 1980, Bon Voyage, Charlie Brown.
And Don't Come Back was the second part of it. So it was Bon Voyage, Charlie Brown, and Don't Come Back.
And he didn't for 35 years.
Exactly.
Now they are back, though, with a new Peanuts movie. So why, before we get to what's in the movie and whether you liked it or not, why did it take so long for them to return?
Well, you know, there was a couple reasons. One, when Sparky passed away, Charles Schulz.
You were real close buddies with him.
Well, no, it was
you?
All cartoonist. His nickname Sparky came from when he was a kid. Barney Google. There was a character named Sparkplug.
Oh.
And Schultz's uncle nicknamed him Sparky. So it's a nickname all cartoonists, you know, you just hear it so often you get it.
That's from
habit.
Barney Google with the googly eyes?
Yes, yeah. Right. Okay. One of Schultz's favorite
sure.
Strips.
Why not?
When he passed away, one of the conditions was that they not have a new artist do the strips.
Oh, right.
So no new artists were allowed to touch that. But the animated cartoons he was fine with, but, you know, he didn't feel really good about computer animation. He was not a fan of computers. So I think they struggled for a long time of how do we do this in a modern era, which is heading to CG everywhere, but still remain true to his wishes of characters. And I think they did a good job of it.
Let's take a call from Christy from the South Hills, wants to get in on the Peanuts conversation. Hi, Christy. You're on with Joe Woes.
Hi. I just wanted to point out something probably is glaringly obvious, but I just had to say because my children are listening and they're laughing in the background as you and Joe Woes speak. They're saying, wah, 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 wah.
Yeah, I bet a lot of people do that, actually.
We were going to do the whole interview that way, but we didn't think people would get a lot out of it.
That's just something I used to joke about when we watched Peanuts when I was a girl, when my parents talked. And so there's kind of like an underground underground kid joke with that when the grown-ups speak that way. That was something that's super special about Peanuts.
Yeah, okay. Well, that's something that I still hear people do that today when somebody drones on at a meeting or something. Not that that ever happens around here, but you know what I mean. Well, thank you, Christy. What was that?
Thank you.
You're welcome. Bye-bye. All right, so what did you think of the movie? You've seen it, right?
Yes. Of course. Yes, I saw it. I absolutely loved it. They remained true to, they pulled gags from the original comics and the original TV shows. They did a great job of it. The characters are very true. They used an all-child voice cast, which was always very important in animation.
Sure.
They just did a great job. It has a lot of heart to it. You know, so many children's movies now rely on sort of cheap, you know, body function humor, you know.
Right.
Not this. It was very, very true script. Didn't go for cheap laughs. It was a very thoughtful film. And, you know, all your favorite characters are in it, and including the teachers that go, wah, 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 wah.
Right,
so,
exactly.
Absolutely wonderful film.
Okay, so in less than a minute here, what is the secret to Peanuts' universal appeal?
Yeah, the secret to its appeal is, as I said before, it's all of us. It's who we are. We'll forever identify with those characters. We'll forever love those characters. They are us. They speak to us in a very deep and thoughtful level.
Joe Woes, syndicated feature Mazetoons, can be viewed at mazetoons.com, and we'll have a link on our website. And again, he's heading out to Santa Rosa, California to be a part of the resident cartoonist for the Charles M. Schulz Museum. He does it every Thanksgiving. So, Joe, we won't see you until after Thanksgiving. So happy Thanksgiving and have a great time out in California at the Schulz Museum.
Thanks. Happy Thanksgiving to everyone. Enjoy your popcorn and toast.
All right. So, right. Right. Even though it's a little over a week away, but you know it's coming. And we'll have another show for you tomorrow coming here on 90.5 WESA. Until then, I'm Paul Guggenheimer. So long for now.